Welcome back to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. You wake up on Christmas morning, a bit hungover from too much spiked eggnog the night before, and it's much later than you'd meant to get up. You're trying to shake off a lingering nightmare. You have a house full of guests to cook for, a moody teenage daughter skulking in her bedroom, and there's a blizzard to end all blizzards howling outside. Welcome to the world of Holly Judge. She's a wife, a mother, and a frustrated poet. And she's one of the central characters in the latest novel from Michigan author Laura Kaziski. It's a psychological thriller called Mind of Winter. Laura, so good to have you on Stateside.
Thank you very much.
We have a very stressed out mom. She's got company coming for the Christmas dinner. She has a very sulky teenage daughter. Apart from that, why is this Christmas day not what either one is hoping for?
Well, I think that many things are coming to fruition on this particular day that have been growing since Tatiana was adopted. And I think that the mother-daughter relationship and the attempts that the protagonist, Holly, has gone to try to control the experience of motherhood and not cruelly, but maybe pointlessly attempting to control her daughter's experience of childhood, that these things are now, well, the
chickens are coming home to roost,
yes,
so to speak, to use a cliche. And Tatiana, their daughter, tell us more about Tatiana and how they found her at a Russian orphanage.
Tatiana's origins aren't exactly known, but she was adopted from an orphanage in Siberia when she was between 1 and 2, 2.5 years old. And she would have no memory of that, but her mother has.
Certainly.
Very sharp, clear memories of Tatiana as a baby at that orphanage and of that orphanage. Holly, the mother, was very determined to give Tatiana a perfect American girlhood and to protect her from anything that the world could do to her. And to such a degree, maybe, that Tatiana's suffering was related to that. So Holly, neither Holly nor Tatiana or her husband, father, have really any sense of what Tatiana's genetic background or parental background would be.
Right.
And so I think things spin out from there.
You know, and it's kind of interesting. You take us to this orphanage where Holly and her husband Eric have gone in search of a child to adopt. And there is something very sad and very foreboding about that orphanage. And I just wondered, have you or someone you know actually had that experience?
Well, I've known a couple of people, yes, I've known people who've adopted from Russia, and I've known people who've adopted from foreign countries. And I have friends who've visited such orphanages. And I've also,
did
a lot of research.
Certainly. Yeah. Could you read an excerpt for us?
Yes. Holly's woken up on Christmas morning. Her husband has had to go to the airport. They've overslept. Perhaps they drank a little too much the night before. And her husband, Eric, has had to go to the airport to pick up his parents for the holiday. So Holly is woken up with a sense of dread. She doesn't know exactly what it stems from. She is thinking about some of the many small domestic catastrophes that have happened in her house and in her life over the last years and trying to assign maybe some sort of almost supernatural blame to these. A chicken has been killed. A cat has been run over. There's a water stain on the ceiling. The housekeeper twisted an ankle. And then she's looking at photographs hanging on the wall in the hallway. And the changes to her marriage? Well, she and Eric were simply older. Holly sometimes forgot that. Instead of looking hard at Eric's face or her own in the mirror on a daily basis, Holly had gotten used to looking every morning into the faces from the past that were framed on the wall in the hallway outside the bathroom. She and Eric, 13 years earlier, standing with their backs to the bare institutional wall of the Pokrovka Orphanage No. 2, while in Holly's arms, the wide-eyed baby Taddy looked up into her new mother's eyes. In this photograph, each of their images held the suggestion of who in 13 years they would be. Eric's red hair was already a little gray at the temples, and his fitness, his physique, all that running and basketball, he'd been only 42 then, was already beginning to diminish a little with his bad knee. His torso looked thin under his white shirt, and it was easy to imagine that the man in this photograph would grow even thinner as he aged instead of fatter. And herself. Holly had been 33, and her hair was still naturally blonde. She hadn't yet needed glasses, really, or had still been too vain to wear them. And although she, too, had weighed more then than she did now, that weight had been arranged differently on her. She'd worn her soft padding in other places. And baby Taddy already had the gaze that made her Tatiana. Those eyes were fiercely black, and her hair was already longer than Holly had ever seen on such a young child. In the Pokrovka Orphanage No. 2, the nurses called her Jet Black Rapunzel. Anyone looking at the photograph framed and nailed up in the hallway would have known that she'd become what she was now, a long-legged teenage beauty, still with that silken hair around her shoulders and those dark eyes.
I'm talking with Michigan writer Laura Kaziski, and her book is called Mind of Winter. It is a psychological thriller focusing on a Christmas day in the middle of a blizzard with a mother and her teenage daughter. It reads like a screenplay, and I can absolutely see everything the way you describe it. And I know that you've already had that experience of having your writings made into films. You had The Life Before Her Eyes turned into a film with Uma Thurman and Evan Rachel Wood, and Suspicious River was turned into a 2000 film, and then White Bird in a Blizzard with Shailene Woodley was at Sundance this year. Is there any interest, or do you think this could become a film as well?
Yeah, I think there's been interest in acquiring the rights, but that's a long way from actually seeing a film made of it, yeah. As I know now. So.
I know a lot of writers say they abhor the process of seeing their beloved work turned into a movie or a television program. What about you? Was that an okay experience for you?
I've had only good experiences with it. I feel when I sell the rights and when someone else has some sort of vision for a novel mm-hmm. as a movie, that it's so many steps removed from my novel by the time it becomes a film that I can take neither credit nor blame for that. And I've been really happy with the directors who've made films out of my novels. I feel like they were very, true to the spirit of it, even when there were things changed. So
respectful.
Yeah, they were very respectful.
I'm always interested where and how the germ of this idea came to you.
Well, there were quite a few germs, but I think that maybe one of the things I was writing about, which only became clear to me after I'd written a first draft of the novel, is how far we go from who we were born being to who we were meant to be all along, and sometimes the lengths we go to avoid filling perhaps what's our destiny.
Mm, interesting theme. You know, I noticed that mom, Holly, used to write. She'd studied creative writing. She had an MFA, and she was trying to work on a collection of poems that she called Ghost Country and having a major struggle trying to get her thoughts and poetry down on paper. And here you are. You teach at the MFA program at U of M after getting your MFA there, and you publish poetry and novels. Are you putting your character, Holly, in your shoes? Are you trying to give us a feel for how challenging it is to be a writer?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm putting myself in the character's shoes. Maybe more that I'm putting her in my shoes. Mm-hmm. Also, I think that some of the impulse for writing the novel in the first place was a kind of experience that Holly was having, which was a sense that something really had to be written down, that I was in a hurry to do it and that things were impinging on my ability to get this story down. I really did wake up with a pretty clear idea one morning of what this novel would be and what was happening in it. And you know, like Holly and everyone else, I have a busy life. And at the same time that I want to write, I have to make breakfast for other people. So I used some of that frustration and desire to write and sense of an inability to do it to explore these topics.
Laura, as you write something that really is as tense and troubled as Mind of Winter, how do you know when you've got it right? When do you know that you've got the right mix of believable and supernatural?
I don't know that I ever do. I just do the best I can, and then I revise. I have a good husband who reads it and tells me what he's thinking along the way, and so I can kind of gauge from there where is the disconnect between what I thought I was doing and what actually got on the page. I have a very good agent who gives me feedback too, and my editor. But I think I never really do know. There's just, there's just the work, just attempting to nail it, of course, the first time, and then going back, reading, realizing I haven't done that, and trying to gauge what I might do. Sometimes it's easier than others. I would say that this novel, somehow I had a clearer sense of it than I have in some of my previous novels. And so it was a little bit easier.
You get kind of a roadmap.
I knew all along, you know, what sort of I felt that the atmosphere was the most important thing to this novel. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I had a really clear sense of that atmosphere. I just really felt like I was living it while I was writing it, and I wrote it quite quickly. And
how do you advise your students that you work with and also people who you might meet who say, oh, I really want to write as well? How do you advise them as far as the best ways to approach the craft of writing? I'm wondering, is it solitary and lonely?
Well, the thing that I say to people, because I do constantly meet people who want to write and want to write novels in particular, and I say you cannot be a perfectionist, that there's never going to be a right time to start the novel. There's never going to be the best first sentence that you could ever write. You're going to have to write and write and write and accept the possibility that you're going to have to do it all over again. And you have to really be willing to sit down and write badly rather often and say, okay, well, that's all I could do today, and then do it again tomorrow. You absolutely can't be a perfectionist. The people who never finish a novel are the people who keep looking at that first chapter over and over again and saying, I didn't do it, I can't do it. And you just you get a draft and then you work with that. And if you don't get it on the page, you have nothing to work with. So
keep it going. Well, Mind of Winter is the book, and Laura Kaczynski is the author. It's been a pleasure to meet you and talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you.